What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station this Wednesday on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Commanders training camp coverage on 106.7 The Fan is presented by Paul Henry's Window Installation. PaulHenrysWindows.com, your clear home improvement choice. Grant and Danny, a product of the law firm Condori and Murat.
Exclusively sponsored by the law firm of Condori and Murat. Estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today by visiting KMLawyers.com. And be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's KMLawyers.com.
Let's go to the Rude Guest Hotline. We've been waiting all week for this conversation. I'm fired up for this. Mike Sando in his 28th year covering the National Football League. The Athletic Hall of Fame selector does a awesome quarterback tiers piece he's been doing for years at multiple outlets. And now, as part of the Athletic, he talks to dozens of executives and coaches. This is a ranking based on the opinions of insiders and league officials. So we don't do lists and rankings very often on this show. A lot of them are just noise, but I really, really like this one, and it matters to me year in and year out when this quarterback list comes out. And we've got Mike on to discuss it now on Grant and Danny. Mike, thanks for the time. How you been?
I've been great. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, our pleasure. Very cool to catch up with you. So let's just start with kind of the work that goes into this. Give people a little more of an idea than I just did on how you actually go about this project.
Yeah, so 28th year covering the league, 12th year doing quarterback tiers. And after the draft is over and the lineups are kind of set at quarterback, at least we know who's in the mix. We exclude all the rookies. I put together a sheet and I send out to, or, you know, I usually meet in person with or talk to guys on the phone with, Zoom with guys in some cases. That's coaches and executives around the league, 50 of them, to put each of these quarterbacks into one of the tiers. The tiers have, you know, definitions that can be interesting, but just to summarize, tier one is great, and tier five is you're not really a starter, and in between is kind of incrementally along the way. And this year I ended up with six GMs, six assistant GMs, six former GMs that are working in other roles, five other execs, eight head coaches, 19 assistants, 15 of the assistants are coordinators, and average it all together, you know, so you could see Patrick Mahomes got 50 votes all in tier one, all the way down to, you know, at the bottom, Kenny Pickett had no votes in the top three tiers, all in tier four and five. So in between, they stack up. It's interesting. It's a market analysis, really, of how the league views the quarterbacks, and it's always fun to discuss.
Mike, when you were doing it this year, what was your biggest surprise, given your kind of preconceived notion or idea that, you know, somebody might be somewhere and then the consensus was totally different? And Then maybe give me an all-time surprise.
Surprises this year, you know, a little bit of a surprise to see Matthew Stafford peek his head into tier one. He had been 11 straight years, I think, in tier two. He didn't, the conversation around him didn't change a lot, but he got just enough votes for that. I thought Jared Goff might fall with Ben Johnson leaving Detroit. That didn't happen. He's solidly in the top 10. You know, we didn't really know what was going to happen with Aaron Rodgers. He got votes in four different tiers. I thought that was notable. And then the discussion around Caleb Williams was more negative, you know, than I was expecting. I think we knew there could be some reservations after he took so many sacks, but you also could have envisioned, hey, Ben Johnson's there, this guy, they're going to get the most out of him. And instead, it was really a lot of questions about how quickly he can process. And so that was very, you know, striking about it this year. All-time surprises, that's an interesting one. I'd probably have to think about it. I do think one thing that is interesting is how the league has gotten so much younger. So if you look at Tier 2 this year, you're going to have guys like Jaden Daniels, Justin Herbert, Goff, Stroud, Hurts, Mayfield, Prescott, Jordan Love, and Brock Purdy. A lot of guys, you know, on the younger side. Here's your Tier 2 from 2020. Tom Brady, Lamar Jackson, Ben Roethlisberger, Matt Stafford, Matt Ryan, Carson Wentz, Dak Prescott, and Phillip Rivers.
Wow.
So it was a lot of, there's a lot more experience in the league before. And I think we're, you know, it's just trended young as a lot of those kind of classic long-term guys have, have aged out, and now, you know, you have, you know, Matthew Stafford might be the last of that, you know, one of the last guys in that elder statesman role who is still in the top two tiers. And I guess Dak Prescott, you know, too.
Stafford ended up ranking fifth at the back end of tier one, which was interesting because it feels to me like there's like a four horseman in the National Football League, which is that Mahomes, Burrow, Allen, Jackson group. And then we kind of have this best of the rest conversation. But actually, Stafford got in above the line of demarcation here.
He did, but he's on a much smaller horse. If these were horsemen, you know, he's like on a pony. I think, you know, he you have to get, you know, at least 25 votes in tier one to make it into tier one. He got 26. And the other guys, Lamar got 46. Josh Allen got 47. Mahomes and Burrow got 50 each. So he's right on the border, but he's still a fair amount above Jaden Daniels and the guys in tier two, kind of in between. He's a tier 1A, let's call it, for Stafford. And I think if I did it right now with him missing camp and the back injury, maybe some of those voters would, you know, have some reservations.
So you mentioned Jaden Daniels. Let's get to him as you're on here in D.C., who is the first guy in Tier 2, which is eight deep, and the sixth-rated quarterback in the National Football League via the folks that you talk to. So let's just start with your reaction to Daniels coming in that high after the one season, and then also some of what you heard when you did talk to people about him.
Yeah. So I was expecting him to come in high just because not only did he have a great rookie season, but he ended up in the championship game. Very hard to do. They obviously didn't have a great defense or something else that carried them to get there. It was a lot of him, and it was against expectation largely that the team would do that well. So I think the postseason gave him some validation that some of these other guys who have good years maybe don't get. He set the record for a you know, in the 12 years I've been doing this, for a second-year quarterback making their debut. Remember, I don't have rookies in it. So he broke the C.J. Stroud record from last year. Stroud had broken Justin Herbert's record from 2021. And as you know, sometimes in the second year, you know, C.J. Stroud takes a little step back for whatever reason. It's tougher around him. Defenses adjust to him, whatever. Justin Herbert has kind of plateaued, come a little bit back. So, you know, it's all good positive feelings about Jaden Daniels. No one really poked any holes in him. I think there were some who, you know, questioned the team around him a little bit. There were some who, you know, wanted to see how it would evolve with Cliff Kingsbury. I thought there was a very interesting point made that, you know, oftentimes these draft classes, it evolves over time in terms of which one you think is the best. Look no further than 2018, when I think Sam Darnold was, you know, in the top couple after only 1 year, and it ends up now being, you know, clearly Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen. Those guys took him a while to get going, at least in the case of Josh Allen, and, you know, was up and down. So I do think we need to see it settle out. The interesting point that was made was, hey, you know, is it a, with Bo Nix coming in pretty strong too, albeit in tier three, is there a quarterback coaching and development contest between Sean Payton and Cliff Kingsbury? I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, Athletics Mike Sando with us here on Grant and Danny. What's the floor and what's the ceiling for next year's set of rankings for Jaden Daniels?
Well, I think the floor is going to be still in tier two. I think the ceiling is going into tier one, but I think the floor could be a low tier two, you know, if he were to have a, or even a mid tier two, because look at CJ Stroud is right now the middle, upper middle of tier two. He's tied with Jalen Hurts. So I think Jaden Daniels would have to have a really tough year to drop much below that.
And describe for me, as I look at the polling here, the panel vote breakdown. So did you ask and people said, oh, he's tier one or he's tier two? Is that what the 17 versus the 31 is?
Yeah, exactly. So that means, you know, if as I went through this, speaking with each of the 50 people, you know, 17 of them said tier one for Jaden Daniels. 31 of them said tier two. One said tier three. And one in tier four. So tier four is a little weird. It's like, it could be a veteran that's been around a long time and you don't really see him as a starter for the whole season, or it could be, you know, someone you just want more information. So there was one voter who took everyone in the class of 2024 and said, I need to see more than 1 year. Mm. It wasn't really a slap. It was just a outlier type vote. Now I find that when you talk to 50 people, you're going to get one or two that see it a different way, sometimes a different way than intended.
Can you go into the, obviously not the specifics of who and when, but like the voter who said the Washington has the best passer in our division. Someone in the NFC East, I guess, told you this. And what you feel about that, just to go deeper into that, you got Prescott with Dallas, who is a regular 4,500-yard type guy. Obviously, Hurts in Philly, and then the Giants are their own fiasco. But how big of a deal is that statement?
I think it's a big deal. I think it is a big deal to say that. Now, you know, I don't think Hurts is really known as a great passer. He's known as a good enough passer. And I think what it's saying is this person would be – there's a lot of people who think Dak Prescott needs the run game a lot too. Okay, there's a lot of people. He got 19 Tier 3 votes, and Jaden Daniels only got one. So that's a big difference. And so what that means is in Tier 3, a lot of people are thinking – we got to take the ball out of the quarterback's hands a little bit. He's better off, you know, running the ball. Let's play some defense. So it's telling you that that person, and I think others, think that, you know, Jaden Daniels is better suited to handle a little bit more higher volume passing than Hurts, Prescott, and certainly Russell Wilson.
Who are some other guys that Daniels may be clustered with? I'm looking at Herbert, Goff, whom you mentioned, Stroud as well. Who do you think could also jump into that tier one next year?
Yeah, well, we've been waiting for Justin Herbert to do it. I don't know that that's going to happen. It just feels like he's very good, and they're going to more of a run game type of a thing. So he has the talent to do it, but maybe it would have happened by now. Jared Goff, I think, is a solid two all day, but we're not predicting him to move up without Ben Johnson, are we? That doesn't make a lot of sense. I think C.J. Stroud could. I think he got 12 Tier 1 votes a year ago, only one this year, but you know, if they get things right there, he's somebody I think he could push to the top of tier two. It might surprise me a little if he went to one. Jalen Hurts isn't going to one. I don't think Baker Mayfield's going to one. Dak isn't. I don't think Purdy is. Maybe outside chance of Jordan Love. But I think this is a big year for him, too. And we've seen good, but I don't know if we've seen consistently good.
What interested you about the difference year to year from the high risers to the low fallers? You know, Sam Darnold plus nine, Baker Mayfield plus eight spots were the biggest risers. And then maybe not surprisingly based on age coming off injury, Rodgers minus nine spots, Cousins who got hurt, got benched, minus 12 spots. Like, what stands out to you among those two groups?
Yeah, so Mayfield, you know, continuing to do well and pull well in this thing with different coordinators every year. He's under a defensive head coach, and they've had you know, back-to-back offensive coordinators who had never been offensive coordinators before and each got head coaching jobs. Can he do it again with a third first-time coordinator? I mean, that seems interesting to me and pretty validating for him. I think a distinction I would make on the fallers is I had mentioned that in Tier 4 you can get there by being, you know, like Joe Flacco, who people don't think ideally would start the whole year, or you can be there like J.J. McCarthy because you haven't played enough. There's not enough info. And so Kirk Cousins appears a little bit ahead of Michael Penix here, but it's a little misleading because Michael Penix got 39 votes in Tier 4, but they were all like, hey, not enough info. I'm excited about this guy, but not enough info. Whereas Cousins got 24 in Tier 4. That's 24 people saying, I don't think you're a starter anymore. So, you know, I think there's more excitement around Penix, even though he's a notch below Cousins, and it's just the way that the tier definitions are.
Mike, looking down the list a little bit, and Mike Sander with us here on Grant and Danny, Drake May at 22, I get it, not much happening there in New England last year. He was kind of, you know, pushing uphill in a headwind, but I was really surprised that Bo Nix was down there at 20. You know, if it wasn't for Jaden Daniels, that might have been one of the stories of the league in terms of how, you know, how he kind of took the league by storm for a surprisingly good Denver team. Thoughts on Bo Nix at 20?
Yeah. I'm with you because all of the talk around him was positive, too. Now, I do think that people think Sean Payton and the fit has a lot to do with that, whereas, look, the fit with Jaden Daniels is good, too, but there's a reason he went higher, right? I mean, I think people just think Jaden Daniels is a better prospect than Bo Nix and that Bo Nix maybe just physically, you know, isn't necessarily going to be Tier 1. So I think the statement made on Jaden Daniels was he's a 2, could become a 1. The statement made on Bo Nix is maybe he played like a 2 the second half of last year, but I kind of want to see it again before we put him there. And so I think if he has a similar record, similar production and results next season, I think he'll go to Tier 2. I think he just sort of got the, hey, it's only 1 year. It was kind of Tier 2, but we want to see it again.
It's funny to me, as we talked to Mike Sando, who did this quarterback ranking for The Athletic. You should check it out. The tiers that he put together and the insight from folks all around the league. Like this, the pullout quote on Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback to ever live, which I love. But I've seen so many of these lists where, like, going into the season, Mahomes isn't ranked number one. And I bring this up to say, it is my belief that he might be the greatest quarterback to ever live. Like, when you juxtapose his career to right now and Tom Brady's, to me, he's like several car lengths ahead of him at this point. He obviously now has to play a lot more and win more. But, like, I think you could easily say Patrick Mahomes might be the greatest quarterback ever at this point. But I say that to also say, the last couple of years, like, Joe Burrow played better football last year. So if you're just making a list of who's the best quarterback in the league going into this season, like coming off last year, you could put Burrow or Allen ahead of him. I just want to get your thoughts on that, like, lifetime achievement versus it hasn't been that fun. There haven't been that many style points for the Chiefs here in the last year or two.
No, I agree. I love, one of the things I love about the voters in this is, you know, they don't overreact. And, like I said, there's a kind of a delay where when you're a rookie coming in, it's like, hey, Jaden Daniels played tier one ball, but we're not going to just put him there yet. We want to see it again. Bo Nix played tier two ball. We're not putting him there yet. You kind of come in, you know, it takes a while to for there to be change. And I think for Mahomes, by the way, 11-0 last year in one score games. I mean, that's happening because your quarterback, right, is pulling out these games with maybe not a lot of greatness around him. Certainly the offensive line at left tackle was a problem. Weaponry, there's been injuries. I think that if it's not going to he's had a couple down years statistically, but that's not enough to be overtaken. Like, he was still in the Super Bowl because largely of him. And so I think it would take a combination of the stats being down and him getting leapfrogged in the playoffs and the AFC side, where let's just say if Josh Allen next year put up the types of numbers he did again and they won the Super Bowl and they knocked out Mahomes in the divisional round, like, I think then you would have you might have a few guys having the conversation, right? I don't know that Mahomes would come out of tier one here, meaning I think he would still be unanimous tier one, but you might have some people saying, hey, not only that, I think Josh Allen's on par or something. I think that's what it'll take.
Mike, great conversation, excellent work, and an awesome piece as always, man. Have an awesome weekend.
Thank you. You too.
Mike Sando of The Athletic. Go check him out. Great piece. It's an annual must read for me because it's not a few people putting together a list. It's quite literally GMs and coaches all over the league giving their opinions on every quarterback, and you see where your guy stacks up. I love it.
It is a, you know, you get a couple of those things that the old Russian judge where the score's out of whack. You get the one guy, like, he'd be the dude for the Hall of Fame voting. It's like, I'm not voting for anyone in their first year of eligibility. So you get a couple that'll skew the score, but you get a pretty good picture of what people around the league think of your guy. So there's, it's not just your guy, but then points of comparison. I mentioned Bo Nix down at 29 touchdowns, just under 4,000 yards for a playoff caliber team. They were really good, and he was awesome after the first couple weeks of the season. And he's at 20. Let you know what people think of Jaden Daniels.
I want to get back into Cliff Kingsbury's comments today, suggesting it's time for Terry McLaurin to get on the practice field. We'll do that. Plus, we are working a very significant and unprecedented development here at the radio station. We're efforting to get more details. Hopefully, it's something we can discuss in short order on Grant and Danny.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's a brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station this Wednesday on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. Thanks to Mike Sando of The Athletic for joining us on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Jaden Daniels ranking sixth in the NFL going into year two. Pretty amazing.
Yes, it is.
I know that it's just kind of now part of the fabric, and we all take it for granted, and we just know that he's one of the better quarterbacks in the league. But from 1 year ago, when none of us really knew what he was going to be, to right now, the idea that only the four elite QBs that are above everybody else and Matt Stafford rank ahead of him, according to execs and coaches, what a wonderful thing for this organization going into year two with Peters and Quinn.
I mean, again, go back in not too distant history. Justin Herbert came onto the scene with 4,300 yards and change with 31 touchdowns. Better thought of entering year two than he was. C.J. Stroud, who was the darling of the league for a team that had been an embarrassment for a long time. Darling of the league, a higher ranking, according to this sampling size, than he was. But, like, pinch yourself, dude. It's real. You know, like, that's the only part of it I could keep taking away. And we mentioned the other rookies. I thought Drake May showed pretty well last year in a really tough environment with very little around him. Again, the numbers aren't eye-popping. But if you watched, you go, okay, they got something there. The kid's talented. The kid's tough. He can do a little bit of everything. Bo Nix had a sensational season. 20th. Afterthought.
Yeah.
We're not sure. TBD. We're sure about that dude. In fact, we're so sure we're not putting him at the back of tier two.
Where would he be if they didn't make the play? If they didn't win three playoff games, let's say the doink that went in against Tampa goes wide. They lose that game.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no Tampa win. There's no Detroit incredible Daniels performance in a massive offensive display with the whole country watching. And then there's no NFC championship game. Not like that game helped put him over, but I actually thought he acquitted himself fine. He had the one huge play as a runner for a touchdown that everyone like made the rounds and the highlights, and everyone loved that he put a dude in a blender. Three playoff games, standalone games, the country watching. Like, he's not sixth.
No.
The Detroit game doing some heavy lifting here, but if they don't make the playoffs, I think he's probably like 10, 11.
That's what I had in my mind.
If they make the playoffs and they lose to Tampa, maybe he's 9, 8.
Yeah, right around there with, you know, Hurts, Stroud, Goff,
but
et cetera.
But I think the fact that they played deep into the year, I mean, the first thing that Sando said was they made it to the NFC Championship game. Like, rookies don't do that. I kind of think that's the story here. That's why he's sixth. Otherwise, it was just an amazing year in the regular season that we hadn't seen before, and everybody's very optimistic. But you're not ready to put him in the best in the league category just yet.
Yeah, and I think that's an instructive point. But even still, let's say he gets tackled on that play where the defender against Tampa has him in his grasp, and he just ends up just, you know, whiffing at the ghost of Jaden Daniels, left him in his dust. Let's say that he goes down, and you said the dunk doesn't go in, and Tampa wins that game, and he's 10th or 11th. Again, that's still huge number of spots ahead of all these other rookies who just had great years. Like, if Jaden Daniels, like, Thanos snap never
because
existed.
Because his year was that much better, don't you think?
I guess, yeah, to
his
a degree.
His year was, like, I know you're saying Bo Nix had an amazing season, and he did. It was a kind of like Cousins' first year as a starter is how I would comp it. Where it was like 28 touchdowns, 11 picks, 4,000 yards, and the 2015 Jay Gruden, Kirk Cousins year. It was really good, and you're like, okay, we have an annual starter that doesn't get benched, franchise quarterback type guy for several years. That's kind of how I view Nix. Now, the ceiling's higher, obviously. He was a first-round pick. Cousins was a fourth-round pick. You're with Sean Payton. They're going to keep adding spices to the stew. But Daniels, it was a whole different thing. Like, Bo Nix played well as a piece of an offense. Jaden Daniels was the sun in the solar system. It's just so different.
I would say so. But I guess I'm just trying to offer how much different it was, you know, if that makes any sense. Where I'm going, if Jaden Daniels never existed, you would go, dude, this rookie year that Bo Nix just had is up there with Justin Herbert. It's up there with C.J. Stroud. It's up there, frankly, with Baker Mayfield years ago for Cleveland when he set the touchdown record. Like, that was pretty damn good for a guy that, well, there weren't that many expectations for. And people laughed at Denver because you're overdrafting this dude. He's been in college for 15 years. He's Van Wilder, and you should have been a third rounder, a career backup. Oh, my God, look at this. Look what he just did. I mean, his year was, you know, probably, I don't want to say probably, it was better than Brock Purdy's or, you know, Aaron Rodgers's, who's a gold jacket in the future. Like, he just did some stuff. And that guy's 20th, and our dude is 6th with the sweetener of the playoffs that you're talking about. I think you're right.
Grant and Danny on the Fin. All right, I want to get into Cliff Kingsbury's comments from this morning, because there are plenty of people, I'm sure, leaving the office who have not yet heard these and who maybe didn't get to weigh in earlier on when we started the show along these lines. But Kingsbury did what Dan Quinn has not done yet. Kingsbury did what Adam Peters, in his only chance at the podium before the start of camp didn't do. Peters shouldn't have called out Terry McLaurin. There was no reason for him to say anything other than what he did. I thought he executed perfectly his plan, which was, say he's showing up on time. He ended up not showing up on time. But basically telling him we appreciate him, saying all of the things that Terry McLaurin was claiming he didn't feel valued, appreciated. Peters used those words. We value him. Yeah. We appreciate him. And I just thought he executed as he normally does beautifully. Job well done. Dan Quinn has played good cop every step of the way. 57 times now he's taken to the podium since the end of minicamp. And in every single one of those times when Terry McLaurin has come up, he has just acted as though Terry McLaurin is Sam Cosmi rehabbing an injury on the side field. And as soon as he's ready to practice, he's going to be out there, and we're excited about that. As if there is really no contract dispute. And when it's been asked as a contract dispute question, he's just talked about how much he loves Terry and he understands this is part of the business and Terry's his guy. So he's just basically taken the high road and been good cop. Today, Cliff Kingsbury, the coordinator, didn't really do that. Now, he didn't say anything divisive. It wasn't a overturning of a table. This was not a fire-starting incendiary situation.
Not a shot across the bow, I don't think.
No, but it was a nudge is what I'm calling it. It was a little elbow to Terry going, hey, buddy, get out there. Come on. And nobody's done this. Nobody in position of power, nobody on the staff has even nudged McLaurin in this way. This was Kingsbury today talking about needing his players on the field.
Yeah, I think, you know, not as much as we would if he was full go, there's no doubt. But I think, like I said, I'm huge on walkthroughs, on practice, things like that, because until you get on the grass and actually do it and feel the timing, feel the depths of routes and things of that nature, I don't know exactly how much you can get out of that. So I think we're kind of at that point to where we need to start getting those guys when they're available out there and gelling and seeing what we are as an offense.
We're at that point where we need to get guys out there and gelling to see where we are as an offense. The questions about McLaurin, there's not guys. I don't know what other guys he's talking about. Now, you could say Noah Brown's not out there either, but Noah Brown's hurt. Can't practice right now. He said when they're available, so I get it. There's a Noah Brown element too. But the questions about Terry McLaurin, it was an easy question to get out of, by the way, with a team-friendly answer. The question was basically like, hey, how does Terry get ready in the meeting room even though he can't be on the field? And if you wanted to, you could say, yeah, he's a professional. He's getting all the mental reps he needs. Mm-hmm. As soon as he comes back, he's going to hit the ground sprinting. We know he's in great shape. He works really hard. So just being able to see our installs and be around the guys, we're really confident that he's going to get off to a fast start this year. And then this isn't talked about all day long. But he didn't do that. He chose not to. He had a choice. You could answer it that way, or you could show that you're a little bit vexed. You could show that this is slightly annoying to you. And why wouldn't it be? You're a play caller. Your job is yards and points. You're an offensive coordinator. It's that time. We are at the point. We need guys that matter to us to play, and we need to gel as an offense. And if you're not helping us to do that, you're taking away from the offense. This was the other cut he had on, again, another question where he easily could have said, meetings are great. I think the question was literally like, hey, what kind of conversations are you having with Terry in these meetings that are helping him get ready? And he's like, no. It's about being on the field.
Yeah. I mean, there hasn't been a ton of contact with him. You know, he's been here, but he's been working with the trainers. So until he gets back on the grass, that's when we'll start building that back up.
At that point, what can you do at that point to make sure it doesn't take a long time?
Yeah, I think, you know, that's one of those deals. There's just time on task, and luckily they had last year to build a lot of rapport and chemistry, and Terry understands our system going into a year or two, so that should expedite the process. But to me, it's time on task together on the grass is really the only way that you can continue to build.
So Kingsbury speaks at the end of every week. If he speaks at the end of next week again and Terry still hasn't signed, that might be a get-your-popcorn press conference at that point, because I would think he would take another step further. Maybe he would just keep it here. I'm not saying he would ever be like, dude, you got to play. But I, whatever that was, if that's a 3 out of 10 in terms of the nudge, I think we'd be at 5 or 6 status.
I think there'd be a repeat at a minimum. And I'm sure, you know, there'd be PR that would get a hold of him and say, hey, don't make, you know, don't pour any kerosene on this thing or whatever. I know he doesn't maybe care as much as some others might. He's a straight shooter.
Unless they don't mind it. Like if you're
unless
Dan Quinn,
you're right, unless they want it.
You don't have to be the bad cop.
Right.
Isn't that instructive?
It could be.
Why would you care if your coordinator goes out there and says, dude, practice? You don't have to say it, but someone's saying it. Mm. And you're all on the same page behind the scenes. You don't think Cliff and Adam and Dan all kind of are seeing this thing the same way?
No, you might be right. It's a good thought. I mean, yeah, so at a minimum, I'd expect a repeat, if not an escalation to that point. But the salient element here is, okay, now the coaches or now a representative of the team that's got some authority is calling for something. Right? Like, nobody's saying, hey, we understand, or hey, it's a process, or, you know, it's a business, guys do what they got to do. That's what everybody, that's the line for months, months and months and months. That's not the line anymore, as of today. Right? I mean, that to me is the salient change. Nobody from the organization that gets paid, not as a player, has said anything like that. He's the first one to say what a lot of us are thinking. This football season is here. You need to be accountable for this football season. I understand the other part of it. I get it. I think they all do. Everybody in every job, especially in the NFL, wants more. I think they're entitled to more, wants more authority, more money, more years, more guarantees. Everybody wants that, so go get what you can get. Everyone is sympathetic to that. But now, the clock has turned. Or whatever analogy you want to use, again, at least for Kingsbury, he's going, yeah, well, the offense is at X. It needs to be way better than that, starting in week one, and we're running out of time to make sure that that happens. Time on task, on the grass. That means you need to be practicing.
I want to get your thoughts at 800-636-1067. What do you think Dan Quinn's reaction to this would have been? Do you think this was in any way something they talked about beforehand? Like, all right, it's okay if you want to push the envelope a little bit here. I don't think that this is something game plan. I think Cliff's just a pretty candid guy who gave an answer. But when you're Dan and you see that everyone is talking about this, that this did make the rounds nationally, what do you think you thought? 800-636-1067, Grant and Danny on the Fan.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's a brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station this Wednesday on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Minutes from now at 6:15, Nats pregame begins. Nationals Phillies tonight. Mackenzie Gore is on the bump. Last time out, Gore threw 3-hit ball and struck out 10 over 6 nearly flawless innings.
He was nails.
Probably his second best start of the year. His best start of the year was
opening day.
13 strikeout masterpiece against the Phillies opposite Zach Wheeler. Interestingly, tonight he's taking on the Phillies at Nats Park opposite Zach Wheeler. So he'll look to replicate their performance. More on that in the leadoff coming up before we get out of here next segment. Also, I've got something for you guys. I want to play a game next segment.
Oh.
I will not tell you what it is yet. I think everyone will be able to participate. We'll get a point for every correct answer. This will be fun.
I get so nervous.
I know, but I will always tell you, if it's a game you're going to hate, like a sports trivia game or something, I'll tell you.
Well, you're like, name any famous person. I'm like,
No, this one I think is one of those games that's going to be much easier and just more fun for everyone. I don't think you should stress out about it. But we'll play that at 6 o'clock. Right now, though, Cliff Kingsbury Jaden Daniels not practicing. Nudging Terry McLaurin to get back on the practice field. What do we think? Let's go to Edwin in Silver Spring. Edwin, a little bit of a shift here. We had not heard anybody on the staff do this yet. What do you think?
I think this is a sign that Terry and his agent have to be ready to basically, you know, go all in with their leverage. And by that, I mean, let's say I'm his agent right now. I would say, one, Terry's not showing up to practice. He's not even showing up to the facility, one. And he's going to be ready to miss the first two games of the season. And depending on how, you know, the negotiation goes, we'll take it from there, you know. But because they're showing that we've known this, really. We've suspected this. And now he's basically saying, Cliff is basically saying it clearly that they're not able to prepare for the season the way they would like to because he's that integral part of their offense. And what he can do, they don't have anybody else that they can trust even, you know, to even run the practices and the plays, you know, practice things normally the way they would like to. So, and then we all watch football. We know how this business goes. Terry's best chance to get this deal is this offseason. If he plays out next year, it's not going to be, chances are high, it's not going to be as good a season as last season.
Well, not only that, he's older. You know, yeah. The problem he's having right now in trying to get his money is that the team thinks he's too old. 1 year from now, when you're right, he's almost certainly not going to have 13 touchdowns. You're a year older, and now you're asking for a similar amount of money.
Yeah, they're already concerned about the third and fourth years of a deal.
Right.
So you can do some math as to where how much closer you'd be.
Right.
Yeah,
a quick carry of the two. Yeah, that's the second and third years of that deal. He says it's time to basically execute his leverage. What other leverage do they have? They have held in, they have held out, they have asked for the trade. Is there a difference between requesting and demanding a trade? I guess that would be the next thing. You could demand a trade, and then the last thing would be you could no-show games, which, by the way, they would be able to fine you, conduct detrimental, come up with their own fine mm-hmm. as a team if they were willing to do that. And they might want to start thinking about that. If I'm Peters, maybe I am. If your doctors are working with him and saying, we think he could probably be practicing right now, the hold-in does allow for them to decide that you're not really putting in the effort you need to get on the field, and they could start finding him. I don't think they want to do that, but at some point, I don't know when.
Yeah, that's like, you know, burning the bridge a little bit when you start making an adversarial.
I think that's like kerosene and matches. Yeah. But you give me no choice if the season starts and you're still not doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that punching you in the face is going to start a fight and is going to change our relationship forever. You give me no choice if you keep hitting me first.
Right.
At some point, I got to do something. William in Stafford, what's up?
I agree with you wholeheartedly because you have to look at the fact that Terry's still under contract right now for this season. That money we're talking about is for the later season.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So you need to get on the field because if you're not on the field, you won't have to be fine. Because right now, you're part of the offense and you're not practicing.
William, were you in the U.S. Navy for 13 years?
No, I was not, but I was in the United States Army.
Okay. Well, I just thought you were my dad because I had this exact same conversation with my dad on the phone. This is the exact point he was making. It's a good phone call. Were you born in 1951? Is your name Dennis? Did you have four children? I mean, that was literally... Him and my dad were reading the same thing when they talked to me.
Like, it's a script they pass around.
It's true. Like, you are trying to get money for the future. You are under contract for this year. That's got to mean something. You owe them a season. Time to show up.
Precisely. I mean, and again, for all of this offseason, it was about the first one, the future, right? You're trying to get money for the future. Go. Do it, man. Godspeed. Win. Keep pushing. Now, the second one takes hold, which is... Under contract this year, football time. And like that, to me, it switched yesterday for Kingsbury. You know, I don't know when it switched for him, but he talked about it today.
Cliff Kingsbury at the mic today saying that it's time. Says we've got to get guys on the field who can be on the field. We need to start gelling. We need our offense to come together. Players need to play to do that. Julian in D.C.
Hey, appreciate you guys coming online. I wanted to talk through what you just mentioned with Cliff Kingsbury kind of going point blank there with what's going on here and down in Washington. I think we need the rest of the staffing group to come in and really align on what's going on. We got Dan Quinn kind of beating around the bush. Earlier in the week, we had a couple of other guys talking about this situation and kind of trying to dodge what's going on. But with Terry and the situation that's going on, he went through about 4.5, maybe 5 years of struggles before we saw some actual success with a quarterback in the last season. But with that being said, he still was catching and rushing for about 1,000 yards a season. So his payment is due, but at the same time, we got to figure out what the future looks like. And I think we got to be realistic with what's going on and have some of the other members of the administration jumping in and kind of putting a little extra pressure on them.
That's the word to me, is realistic. And again, what should be happening, what should be and what are, might be two different things. What should be is that, you know, players have more leverage at a certain point and the CBA changes. What should happen is You know, the team is nice and recognizes all his admirable qualities and says, okay, we'll just pay you because. What realistically is happening is not that. So we have to deal with what's realistic, I think, to the caller's point.
Here's the money quote from Kingsbury today.
To me, it's time on task together on the grass is really the only way that you can continue to build.
Let's go to Michael and Bowie.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, buddy.
I think there's an art and a science to this. And I think Adam, to his credit, is deep in the science of it. But I think with somebody like Terry, you gotta get into the art of it. And I don't take Kingsbury's comments as just at Terry. I take them at Adam, too, and the whole team to get together, get to a deal, to get this man on the field so we can get to the Super Bowl. And I think the more we delay that, football is a game of inches. You're hot, and then you're not. And I think Cliff sees if we don't get out there, we're not going to get the timing, the harmony, the energy that we need, and we're going to come out and maybe lose to the Giants to start off the freaking season.
So two things are amazing and ironic as he made that point. Number one, it is true that the Commanders legitimately have Super Bowl aspirations. They got to the NFC title game last year. They probably think they could get back this year, but they need McLaurin to do it. That's number one. And number two, the most serious standoff with a player, the most anti-team, legit holdout, this side of Sean Gilbert in 1994, basically, by this organization is being turned in by Terry McLaurin. How amazing is that, by the way?
Everything about that paragraph. You know, the team with Super Bowl aspirations, and you said Sean Gilbert and company. That's amazing.
But there might not be another guy that's been more pro-team in the 2000s, in my opinion, or just model citizen.
Who's been
citizen.
Through more and complained less.
And yet nobody has been in this kind of standoff with the team. Kingsbury today in Ashburn.
So I think we're kind of at that point to where we need to start getting those guys when they're available out there and gelling and seeing what we are as an offense.
Grant and Danny with you on The Fan.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station this Wednesday on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.